Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. I'm Lauren, back from a few days in freezing Vermont, and I'm here with Kayleen. Nice.
Hi, everyone.
So today we're going to do things a little bit differently, something we haven't done before.
But I think listeners will enjoy this one. So today we're going to, I guess, lift the veil. Is that what you say?
Lift the veil.
The term on a nutrition session. So obviously, like everything in the specifics of a client session is confidential, and we changed details here. I couldn't even figure out who the clients were.
I was just, you know, we were talking, I sent Kayleen sort of like an outline that we always do. And I said, like, so any guesses as to who's who? She didn't have
wrong.
Any. Yeah. I also, identifying details, I changed. And I've said this before, I think that when it comes to nutrition, so much of what happens with food and also in our heads with respect to food is really universal. I think, in fact, the things that we think are like, nobody thinks this except me. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. and so they're not unique to any one client. I did the you know, sort of genesis of this episode was I had just finished, you know, sort of a back-to-back morning of phone sessions, and my head was spinning in a good way, but I also had like some conversations that I thought were, you know, sort of just worthy of sharing, obviously not disclosing, but sharing. And the other thing is, we at Food Trainers, we're always looking for, you know, sort of like, you know, something that's new.
There's
a lot of information that I think is helpful to people that we, I don't want to say could reuse, but, you know.
Or reinforce.
Exactly. Yeah. Reinforce is a better word.
Okay, so let's get started then with our sneak peek inside a Food Trainer session. How many clients should we go through? Because the morning you set, you would see like 8 people, right?
Right. Well, yeah, so let's do, I think it's like 4 or 5 or something. Mm-hmm. Like, just give, I wanted to give like a taste of like things that you might not think happen in a nutrition session that are either thought-provoking or perhaps interesting, maybe not.
Okay, so who is client one?
Okay, so client one has a long history of sort of a complicated relationship with food. He's really, and I do see it with some clients, someone who's latched on to like intermittent fasting, has mm-hmm. like the app to like set the timer for your daily food, that kind of thing, and really has succeeded with it. You know, it feels very concrete and not limiting. You know, it's just every behavior, you know, some people run with it, and this is definitely someone. So the beginning of the session, he had read a book or listened to a podcast on fasting, on sort of more extreme fasting, mm-hmm. and was saying, you know, to really reap the benefits, you know, this person was recommending 24-hour fast and 36-hour mm-hmm. fast, which is a whole other topic.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of clients come to us with articles and books. And, you know, sometimes I've read them or heard of them, and sometimes I just take notes and look into them. And the reason I'm bringing up this client, and I'll tell you a little bit, was that what works, like theoretically, like, yes, there are benefits of, you know, a water fast. No, I've never done one. Have you?
Oh my gosh, no.
And again, the questions that come up are, you know, what are underlying health issues that, you know, sort of who wouldn't this work for?
Yeah.
So this was a client who was already at sort of an 8-hour eating window. And just to explain what that means. So that would be something, this client is actually starts eating at 12 and finishes eating at 8 roughly every day. We usually would recommend an earlier start than 12 for most people. This is, you know, we're referring to a male also. So was already getting some of the benefits of compressing your eating day, but had a lot of things to improve, you know, was still sort of doing a lot of grazing and was still having, you know, sort of more frequent like treat meals and things. There were like a lot of, you know, bigger fish to fry. So I said to the client, like, whoa, let's, you're doing great with the timing. Let's get your food really on track and work on some other things before we, you know, sort of like do anything extreme, which I think, again, to me, a 24-hour or a 36-hour fast, I know like Dave Asprey just wrote a fasting book and, you know, Dr. Gundry talks about it. Interestingly, these are, you know, all men. So when you do read something, it can make perfect scientific sense. You know, I've gone down the rabbit hole with keto reading.
You really have, yeah.
Does it, you know, does that mean like I am going to cut fruit out of my diet? No, it doesn't. So does it make sense for you? And is it going to like push your buttons when it comes to emotional eating? feeling, you know, sort of drastically deprived, any of those things.
Yeah.
And second, like, are you only focusing on one part of your routine? Which I think, you know, like we can't just do the timing thing. I think people think you can.
Yeah.
And not think about sugar intake and, you know, sort of the timing within our day and our sleep. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I think that's important to look at, like, all the aspects and not just hyper-focus on one, which I think is what you're getting at.
Yeah, no, and I think the same thing, you know, goes for, there's just, it's never sort of like a one sentence, one rule answer for people's eating.
Which we actually have an episode on intermittent fasting too. I think it's episode 39.
Okay. Please at least tell me you had to go back and check
that. No, I had to look, yeah. Okay. So if you're fasting curious, you could go listen to like more of our thoughts on that too.
Right, which are pretty, I think pretty more moderate compared to like the fasting community, that kind of thing. So that would be, you know, as somebody who does a lot of nutrition reading, if somebody's writing a book, they're writing a book on like one angle. They tend to.
Yeah.
So you again have to hold that up to the lens of, you know, your whole routine. You know, are you, can you call all the shots with your eating, or are you eating with family members? You know, then maybe you can't do something, you know, completely weird and out there, that kind of thing. Okay. So from Fasting Curious, which was client one, to Candy Queen. My next client is a client I've seen on and off over the years. She listened to the podcast, I assume it was the Damp January podcast, and heard us equating, it must have been we were talking about non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which she heard us equating sugar to alcohol.
Yeah.
Sugar being something that can damage your liver, much in the same way that alcohol can. Of course, it depends on the quantity, et cetera. But she was shocked. You know, this is a West Coast client. She has a great career. She's really like ambitious with her wellness too. She has great workouts. She, you know, makes, you know, big salads, that kind of thing. But she has this sugar habit, you know, this, you know, sort of.
It kind of reminds me of when you discussed alcohol in that podcast and you said so many people take like every aspect of their health so seriously, except for that.
Yeah, I think I was talking about myself before I had like my awakening. But I do think a lot of people have like a healthy exception. I don't really like the term like guilty pleasure because I don't really think it's necessarily like always guilt oriented. Yeah. But it's true. And I think, you know, I think you see that for like another, like a number of reasons. With this client, she always saw sugar, you know, and like just as something fun, you know? And then when we talked about like liver health, she sort of had this like aha moment that it wasn't just something that like affected her weight or like as some people we don't, or her mood, you know, but something, you know, and really this is, I could go off on a major tangent, but sugar affects every single part of your body. If you, I always say, think about like what happens to a diabetic when it's uncontrolled and you know, that's what it's doing to your body. So yeah, I thought that was, it's always, you know, we put information out there. I kind of like thinking of people like listening to things and like, what's that, you know, sort of moment for
really
people.
Connecting the dots, I know, I like hadn't thought about this before, but both like sugar and alcohol sort of get that, like they're framed as like a fun thing. And I think social media like also can reinforce that too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I said this in the Damp January episode, like I'm a little guilty of that. Like, you know, I love posting like a healthier, but still cocktail recipe. And the truth is like, there is a way to incorporate these things. So it's not as if we're saying, you know, these are completely unfun, but I think it's a little irresponsible. And we always say like the best amount to, you know, drink is zero. but it's easy both on an individual basis and for people, you know, putting information out there to like overemphasize the fun. And especially depending on people's issues and quantities can be something that can also be abused or dangerous. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
What's next?
What is next? So Fasting Curious, Candy Queen, what's the fun name that you have next?
Okay. Let me see. So I'm going to think on the spot. So the next client I'm going to bring up, I'm bringing up just because I think it was a good COVID example. This client, and I hope what the example we're going to give is inspiring too. So let this client we'll call New Leafs, like turning over I guess that'll do. So this session was the first follow-up session after an initial with a client who had moved in with family due to COVID mm-hmm. and, you know, both, you know, older parents and also just, you know, financially, I would assume. I don't know for sure. And, you know, sort of with that, this was like your typical, like, you know, career person, had such a routine, you know, that kind of thing prior, and, you know, got out of her routines, wasn't, you know, dressing for work, which is a big deal, you know, sort of when you're not putting on things with buttons and zippers.
Oh my gosh,
And sort of eating what worked for the other family members, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think, and I'll admit, like, sometimes I have concerns, like, you know, how is what I'm suggesting for this client going to work with other family members?
Right.
You know, you have to kind of think of it that way.
Like, everyone wants to make these changes, of course, like when they're seeing you too. But once they have their plan you give them, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Right. So this is the good part. So it's true. And I have to say, like, I love when I'm like pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, you speak. It's, you know, right now things are on the phone. You can definitely feel when you connect. And sometimes just depending on somebody's personality, they don't kind of give, you don't know. So I'm sharing this example because this client in 1 week, and that's when we follow up, was doing, like, had done a complete 180, like completely surpassed, you know, this is a very sort of, you know, just somebody who like didn't emote a lot, was very sort of fact-oriented, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But all of a sudden, from like really sitting in front of her computer, was doing some, you know, 30 minutes of exercise daily, was having processed carbs, which were common in those family meals, only once a week,
mm-hmm.
wasn't in it, eating after dinner. She was another one who was doing like the candy and pops, I think, were her thing. And had also, which I think is an important one, had talked to family members about some of the meals. And even if they didn't want to eat them, was making what we call those top shelf veggies, those healthy cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, I could go on, asparagus. She was making like a hearty vegetable every night, mm-hmm. so that she had that component, which is a good source of magnesium, most of them, and fiber, and also just like sends the message that you're eating a healthy meal.
Yeah.
And the most important part was that she felt better. Her mood was better. She liked that she was spending time outside, even though it's, you know, freezing cold right now, but just to like have that sunlight. You know, if we don't have to get up and go to work, it can create this dynamic where we don't have to do much.
Like routines. Yeah.
We know about that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, and her weight was down too. And I think that like, sometimes it just like setting those goals and putting them in place, and you could just be sort of surprised by what can happen.
Or how you feel. Yeah. So other than keep going, I guess, what did you focus on with New Leafs, which I think is an iced tea company?
I think it is too. I'm sorry, New Leaf. We're not taking your name. But, you know, so she really did a great job. You know, if you think about it, sugar was down, exercise was up. She was keeping a food journal so I could see all of this. Was also so casual about all of this. I'm like, you did everything. Like,
she was ready.
Not everybody. Yeah, she was ready and investing financially and, mm-hmm. you know, just not feeling, you know, great in her, not only weight wise, but just not feeling great when you're not eating well and really sedentary. So we focused, once somebody gets the basics down, we focused on some of the details. So a lot of it, this session happened to be a lot portion based. She had mm-hmm. a lot of those questions. You can't really talk about portions until you're eating the right foods.
Yeah.
So we talked about our beloved nut case first, you know, nuts in the afternoon so that her snack was portioned. What else? We talked about like a portion of carbs, like a quinoa or a lentil of your good carbs, or you know, her once a week white carbs being about a cup.
Yeah.
Half an ounce for dark chocolate.
very small.
Yeah, exactly. But it's actually, you know, sort of decent, but it gives people a quantity.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, it was really just like a nice success story.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so then next, who do we have?
Sorry, sip of coffee, swallowing. I know I have a client that says they can hear me drinking on the session. So now I'm going to forever be conscious, self-conscious about that. So the next client was a young client in the Midwest, just, you know, starting her career, you know, even though, you know, sort of COVID, et cetera, was, you know, sort of really having these full work days. Super organized, you know, sort of like a great fit for food trainers in that she's, you know, sort of very systematic, likes like sort of weekly challenges, does have, which I'll explain why this is important later, history of GI issues, but was just you know, feeling really like this, you know, sort of, it was a really easy process, positive process for her. But she had been running into late, like being so exhausted at the end of the day, you know, sort of having major cooking fatigue.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, we can call her Lauren. No, I'm just kidding.
Talking about myself.
It's so funny. Sometimes it's like the other day I was in like a bad mood and I, which we won't get into, but I like just started cooking and listening to music and it was like so nice. And then it was actually not a work day though. And other days it feels like the biggest chore at the
end of the day.
How do you, in your family, do you like, do you divide up the
nights? We kind of do because we all work. So it's kind of like, we're all like kind of exhausted.
Kind of cranky at the end of the day. Yeah.
So we try to break it up. It's mostly me and my mom though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some of the sisters get the pass?
They do.
It always works that way.
I feel like there's always their little excuses and makes me feel bad. So.
And sometimes you don't want to technically eat what everybody would cook.
Oh, that's another thing, figuring out, like you kind of mentioned, whatever, like something that everyone's going to like.
Right. Which is sort of impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, one who's like currently protein obsessed, one who like a meal without a carb is like, you know,
miserable.
Not a meal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark's not eating, you know, he's on this like no red meat thing. I'm like, I'm cooking. So you guys can eat whatever you want. I'm going to decide. I won't like salmon 5 nights a week. Like I know not to, you know, sort of push my luck, but I also feel like, you know, there's enough takeout meals that when I'm making a meal, there's going to be broccoli and things like that. I don't feel guilty about subjecting them to my healthy meals. So the thing with this client though, and the reason I mentioned the GI issues is that like, sure, you could do takeout, even healthy takeout, but you don't really feel that great doing that all the time.
Yeah, you don't want to have that all the time.
No, and even though I like to support restaurants because so many in New York at least are going out of business, like there's a it's expensive too.
Yeah, there's all the factors, like the health and the money.
And Mark's always like, oh, we're supporting local businesses.
It's been like 10 months now, but that's still like the key thing you're doing.
I'm like, it is. Don't you read on the infatuation? There's like hundreds of restaurants going out. I need to show support by not cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll call this client like, you know, what the F's for dinner, you know, that kind of thing. Just, is that too negative?
No, I think everyone can relate to that one.
Okay. I think so too. So what did we do with this client? So, you know, first, I think the first step, and I always ask in initial sessions with clients, so what are you going to have for dinner tonight? It's totally a test. And, you know, occasionally I would say 10% of the time they'll have a plan. Mm-hmm. Most people don't. And that's the key is that, you know, I think the likelihood of things working out when you're deciding at, I don't know, 6, 7 o'clock, how it's going to work is very small. So the first is whether you do it weekly. And I know a lot of people and a lot of moms plan meals for the week so that they can food shop. You know, it's funny because I grew up with my mom, like every day after work, she went to the market.
Oh.
But also just being spoiled a little bit being in New York and that I can run out and get things, you know,
easily,
like without getting in the car. You know, in Vermont, it's a little bit different. You need to have a plan in place. So even if the plan in place is we're going to order from the chicken place or the sushi, you know, like that's the thing. The second thing is, I just think it's too big an ask at the end of the day to ask yourself to like cook for over an hour and then the clean, which is the big, you know, sort of.
That we always fight over too.
Oh my goodness. It's so funny. It's like, I feel like because of this session, because of this topic, my family's coming up a lot, but like my family is so dishwasher challenged. Like they think that like the plate ends in the sink, but yet like, when I cook, and especially I think when it's something that they like, they're like decent about helping.
Well, that's nice.
Helping, not like off the hook. So anyway, so with this client, we talked about, you know, sort of the plan, which came naturally for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is just what are things to like limit that cooking time at the end of the day?
Yeah.
A slow cooker is great, especially if you live in like cold weather and like things like, you know, like there's a lot of like Indian dishes and, you know, chili type dishes and things like that. And also, you know, easy on the cleaning end too. We talked about sheet pan meals.
Mm-hmm. Those are easy too.
So easy. If you're not familiar, really just a baking sheet. I like parchment paper, also easy cleanup. There's like these silicone mats too that go. I think they're called Silpaths. Mm-hmm. I have one. I don't use it all the time, just because it kind of like freaks me out a little putting that thing in the. I don't know.
Do you put that in the dishwasher then too?
I do put it in the dishwasher, mm-hmm. but it's like this mat, so it's like I don't know. The whole thing's a little more awkward. I do the We Care parchment, like that, like recycled brand, whatever it's called. So sheet pan meal. So that's like you could take any of your proteins, like you could take chicken sausages, or you could take chicken breasts or salmon and your veggies, even like sometimes you have to stagger how you put things in. Like mm-hmm. when you do like a potato, that might It'll have to go longer. In first. Yeah. Exactly. Or you might have to parboil them. But then you have like your whole meal on one tray. So that's easy. Talked about batch cooking. Mm-hmm. So again, things like roasted vegetables or baking chicken breasts, you know, things that last, like just make however, you know, I'm limited living with three men and like two oven shelves, but I definitely fill it up.
Yeah.
And just like some shortcuts, like there, you could get an organic roasted chicken. You could get, mm-hmm. you know, turkey, organic turkey sausages and things like that to make your life. Pre-washed salad greens. Yeah.
All good options. And the slow cooker too. That's good.
Like is your family, like do you Instapot or slow cook?
We don't have an Instapot, but we do have a slow cooker that we'll use every once in a while. Okay. We probably should use it more.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It definitely to me is like a total, like once winter's over, I'm like done with like mm-hmm. the slow cooker.
We've been on a soup kick. We've got some good soups in our
rotation. You were telling me. Yeah. What was the... turmeric coconut.
Yeah, cauliflower, sweet potato, actually, with coconut milk and stuff. Yeah. It's really good and it's really easy.
And Kayleen doesn't like curry, but we're trying to change that. Okay, so a little digression. The final client. So, but really, I think that you don't want to, like, I think any deterrent to like being healthy, like end of the day, being tired, mm-hmm. rather than just feeling like you have to suck everything up and like, you know, do it, there's usually some solutions
easier
out
options.
There.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last client, I think it was 5 when you asked me how many, we'll call Fear Factor. So Fear Factor was in a panic state in our last session because he had just received like news from his doctor that freaked him out. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, nothing life-threatening, but just got labs back, you know, sort of a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah. I feel like that happens kind of often, does it?
I think that doctors, and we have lots of, you know, physician clients we like, can sometimes instill fear in clients. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like it definitely is something, especially men. I know I'm very sexist in my advice, but I think, again, the more numbers driven you are, too, numbers can freak you out mm-hmm. on blood work, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the gist of this and the reason why I'm bringing it up is he had this notion of like, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that anything our doctors tell us, you know, even like, you know, I was just recently at the dentist, you know, like I think it, you know, especially if we're, you know, sort of respecting these people in our lives, mm-hmm. Of course, what their advice should matter. But I think my doctor wants to, like I always hear, my doctor wants me down 20 pounds by the next checkup. You know, it's just like, again, that's like nice in theory, but then somebody also has to do it. And also has like, there's like an aspect of it being threatening.
Yeah. They get scared.
Yeah.
The fear factor.
Exactly. That's why. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So fear, scared. And, you know, in this case, I think that like news like that gets your attention, may get you to take action, which is great. Mm-hmm. But you don't really continue doing things out of like, you know, terror.
Yeah, you probably get exhausted after a while.
Yeah, no, I mean, think about it. Like, it's like, it's just like any sort of advice. Like, mm-hmm. do you want to live with that running through your head? Yeah.
So what advice did you give to Fear Factor?
So with Fear Factor, you know, we got at, you know, like how he wanted to feel. Mm-hmm. We talked about, you know, sort of like that good feeling of taking care of yourself. You know, certain fear is not necessarily a good feeling. It's also not necessarily taking care of yourself. We talked about how his healthy changes might influence his family mm-hmm. in a positive way. And really like, you know, sort of getting at like the deeper meaning, not just the news, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. It kind of sounds like what you said. I don't remember the exact words, but you don't hate your way into improving your body.
Right. So I think it's very similar. I think many times. It's old. I was about to say it again. It's old school to think that the negative emotions drive our behavior. Mm-hmm. It's very common with workouts, you know, sort of this like, you know, tough love in sports and workout and fitness. Mm-hmm. And I would say this tough love, you know, almost to a sense, I'm thinking about it a little bit abusive. But when it comes to eating, and I've done this for a lot of years, like the whip and the threats, mm-hmm. they just don't work. They don't feel good. And they almost encourage you to rebel a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it?
Okay. I'm just taking a deep breath.
Yes, I know. I'm always here for the summary, so we can go through it one more time. First, we had Fast and Curious, and he was like semi-obsessed with timing, but not thinking about his whole routine. So there are many factors that were involved with like eating well.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of fasting-obsessed people, so take note mm-hmm. if you send this episode
Pay
to
more
somebody.
Attention. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was Candy Queen, who saw candy as fun and wasn't connected to how it affected her body or her health, wouldn't have even thought of it on par with like alcohol and the negative effects.
Yeah. So again, we're not here to be doom and gloom, but like both sugar and alcohol, you know, especially if you're not a teenager mm-hmm. and not that it doesn't affect their bodies too and their skin, as we talked about last week, but you know, they go off and do dirty things.
Yeah. and then there was New Leaf, not the iced tea company,
right.
who had some bad habits, like just due to COVID, which a lot of people can probably relate to. New living situation, different work situation, and changed a bunch of things really quickly. Turned over many new leaves, okay. as we said.
And as can anybody listening, mm-hmm. We just finished our Fix program. And it's just astounding to me, not even in a week, like just a couple of days of making changes, you really can notice the difference.
Yeah. And you have to be motivated.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here for.
Then there was What the F is for Dinner, yeah. Who was just burned out from cooking, which I think we both expressed that we were too.
Absolutely.
And finally, Fear Factor and the message that we need to like long-term like drive ourselves with positive emotions, like not fear or the threats like you just spoke about.
Maybe we should just, maybe we should go just to your summary. We'd have like a 3-minute episode.
We could put in the show notes, like skip to minute 20.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think the context helps. And to hear like people are going to find this like relatable. Mm-hmm. I think it'll help them out. Just like the all or nothing episode, it's not just like carbs and protein that we cover, but there's all these other factors that affect like our eating, your success, or your routine.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. And hopefully we had like a good variety. Okay, this is a problem.
Someone tally it for us.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. When you listen, you do notice when people have, sometimes it's not, I notice more because I'm conscious of it for myself, but that people have, even Crime Junkie, things. There was one thing, here's the thing is what she said all the time, which didn't even bother me, but I just noticed that it was her thing. You can read things, you know, for a minute and think, you know, I'm like subject to this, like, that's the answer. I'm going to, you know, sort of change everything, you know, due to something that I, you know, read. Or you can get, I think, like caught up in like the fun of, and you're right, social media of cocktail culture mm-hmm. or, you know, or the funny quotes or like, you know, baking, which everybody is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just, you know, sort of hopefully you'll hear in these stories something that resonates and inspires you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Q&A.
Now for our Q&A. This one is from Jen on Instagram, who asked about eating around a workout.
Right. So I had said, which was probably a bad question, like, what would you want to cover in a food trainer's session?
So very personalized.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So people were like, I want to cover, you know, for me being, you know, mm-hmm. 44 years old and mother of. No. Okay. So we like this question just because a lot of people work out. Mm-hmm. Nutrition is the question. And this actually just came up for me in a session yesterday. A client had gone on a long hike and just noted in her food log, I saw bonked, that she felt very low energy and depleted. And the key is, we talk a lot about on this podcast, blood sugar, but exercise, and one reason that makes exercise healthy is that it's technically what's called a hypoglycemic agent, which is a fancy way of saying it lowers your blood sugar, helps moderate your blood sugar mm-hmm. for a lot of people. The problem is, so does time. So if you think about it, workout, blood sugar is going down. shower, check email, blood sugar goes down further. It can become this, like, even if you're used to eating at similar intervals, it can put you in this place where it's like almost impossible, even once you eat, to feel good. So I would say the tip is after your workout, especially a strenuous workout, eat ASAP, definitely within the hour, ideally within the half hour.
Mm-hmm.
So Jen, I hope that helps. In terms of pre-workout, I've talked about this before, but especially for morning workouts, it's actually best to work out on empty,
mm-hmm.
which sounds like sort of, I don't know, there's something that sounds like starvation in that.
Yeah.
But the truth is that if you work out on empty, your body's going to, you know, sort of fuel itself with your fat stores mm-hmm. usually. Of course, we're not fans of like fainting or anything of that nature. So if you work out on empty and it's not something that works for you, you're the expert when it comes to your body.
Yeah.
But really that interval after exercise can trip people up. I mm-hmm. think we all kind of on some level think, let me just push it and wait a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're often not hungry right after.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
And then it can kind of be this like, you know, yeah. Or this dynamic where you like just don't feel
do
good.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Thanks, Jen.
That's it for this episode. It's funny, if you're having a rough week like we are, our favorite astrology with Andy said Mercury is just about in retrograde, which is when things get crazy.
Yeah. So show us some. We've had a doozy of a week. By the time this airs, I don't know what Mercury will be doing.
It probably will be in retrograde.
Okay, so maybe that'll be helpful in that regard. But please show us some love. If you like what you're listening to, tell a friend, post a story on Insta. Don't be mean.
Be kind.
Exactly. And we'll see you next week.